Katie, thank you firstly for coming down to the office. I've been trying to get you on Wednesday forever, and you've been avoiding me. Not avoiding me, but avoiding the conversation of coming on Winners Wednesday forever. What was so hard about coming on the show?
Well, I felt like I needed to generate some sort of physical or some sort of achievement before I could actually validate, you know, coming on.
Right.
Because just by purchasing properties, I felt like I wasn't really doing much. It was just like, you know, anyone could do it. But to actually turn them around and actually getting them rented out and generating an income.
Yes.
I felt that was more of the more important thing. Yes. To implement the knowledge that you've actually taught us to make it into a successful business. I felt that would be more important.
Right. So you wanted to just get like nail the success and then share it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when we met, and when you joined the academy, came to the Property Investors Crash Course, you had got some property experience.
I did, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I've been a landlord for about 20 years now.
Longer than I have been a landlord.
I'm a bit older than you.
So, you've been in property for 20 years, that's longer than I have. And we'll talk. I'd love to, in a minute, talk about what you did and stuff. Tell me what you did first.
Okay,
prior to even knowing who Samuel Leeds was, tell me everything.
So before you, I came across a Robert Kiyosaki book accidentally.
Yeah.
I was on holiday in another country, and the only English book that was there was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And, obviously, I thought that was just going to be like a storybook or something, but little did I know, it actually changed my life.
Yes.
So it actually got me into property. And
So what year was this?
This was in 1998, I think it was.
So 1998. So I would have been like 7 or 8 years old.
I'm giving away my age.
No, listen, let me say. So when I was 7 or 8 years old, you were reading Robert Kiyosaki, who's now one of my mentors. You were reading his book when I was like a baby, basically.
Yeah.
Which is insane. You do look a lot younger than... I'm not even going to try
to do
that.
Thank you.
Okay. So you read that book and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go into property.
Yeah.
Over those sort of like 15 years or so then, what did you manage to achieve in property?
Well, it went quite slowly. It was like one after the other. When we had any extra equities in properties, we would like finance it.
Yes.
We would buy just like simple buy-to-let. We would do the BRR, buy, refurbish, refinance. At the time, we didn't actually know what's called BRR, but we thought, you know, this is a good way of doing it and adding value and then getting it refinanced.
So you put some money into a property and then you'd push the value up, you'd refurb it, or you'd wait and then you just keep refinancing.
Yeah, and whenever there was equity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many properties when we met did you own?
I had 6, but then I stopped because Section 24 came in. I just didn't have enough knowledge because all the other was kind of like accidental. You know, I came across it. I was like, I found a really good cheap property. I did it up, and then I had the value increased, and then I just got that refinanced. And so that's how I sort of like rolled around with it. But then with Section 24, the second stamp duty, everything just kind of like scared me a bit because I didn't have enough knowledge. But going back, a few months, since May, I came across one of your videos.
Okay.
And you were like talking about it and saying about Section 24, how to, you know, overcome that, that sort of thing. And I was like, I was like, wow, this is like amazing. Why didn't I see this before? Because I didn't have enough knowledge, I actually stopped investing in property.
Yeah.
I got scared.
Yeah. But you were making like a couple £1,000 a month profit.
Yeah, but then, when Section 24 came in, it was like lots of, because it hadn't actually came in, it hadn't actually come in, it kicked in yet.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was kind of scary because no one actually knew what was going on or how it's going to affect us or, you know, how the tax was going to be or whether we were able to claim. Because obviously I was refinancing them.
Yeah. So you're highly leveraged.
Yeah, I was. Because as you say, if you can leverage, then why not? You could use the bank's money to help you make money.
But then you wanted to know how to protect yourself against Section 24.
Yeah.
And also as well, your properties when we met, whilst you were making a couple of grand, they were under threat with Section 24.
Yeah.
And there were single lets. And you were thinking, this is very slow.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Because I never heard of, well, I never knew what HMO was.
Yes.
Until I saw your videos.
Right.
And then after watching your videos, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like binge watching all your videos, like constantly.
But when we met though, you were already successful, but not like really successful.
No.
But you were doing well. You had experience.
Yeah.
But you wanted to take things to a whole new level. So.
But not us. At that level that I wanted to be at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So you came to the crash course.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was amazing. Before the crash, what happened was that I tried to get onto your crash course.
Yeah.
But they were always overbooked.
Yes.
And
sold out.
They were sold out. Yeah. And every time I would actually message. I stalked you on Facebook. I found your page. I found your property investor. Page on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like asking people whether they had any spare tickets, or I mean, I was willing to pay you extra for it.
Yeah.
Luckily, one guy, his name's called Soljit from Coventry. He messaged me directly. He reached out to me, and he said, "Are you looking for a ticket?" I was like, "Yeah." I was thinking, "Oh, how much is he going to ask me for now?" But actually, he goes, "I have a spare ticket. Would you like it?" I said, "Well, how much would you like?" He goes, "Oh, you can have it for free, but we just need to go in together. We'll just meet out at the door and then we'll go in together. It'll be fine," because his sister couldn't make it. So he said he was going to give it to me for free.
That's
so
great.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is like, well, it's just meant to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and little did you know that then you end up becoming friends and you joined the academy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened at the crash course then? And did you get what you came for?
Yes, I did. So before I attended the crash course, I knew some stuff from your videos, but I didn't have all the knowledge. So in the meantime, between learning about you and attending the crash course, I refinanced everything that I had to release all the equity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all there. And I was looking, I was like viewing properties after properties, like loads. I wasn't really sure which area I was going to go into. But it was around Midlands, I knew, or maybe up north, as you were like saying. And then I came across a property in Leicester, and I thought, oh, this looks kind of good value. Is it me? Was it undervalued? Anyway, it was on the market for 147, but it came down from quite a few prices. And because I've been talking to the agents and stuff, we had quite a good relationship.
Well, how did you even find this property then? How did it come about?
Well, the seller actually lowered his price, asking price, quite a bit.
Yes.
And
how did you come across it?
How did the agent? They called me directly and said that he's actually.
How did the agent know to call you?
Because I kept pestering them. I was like, I went to quite a few viewings before we actually came across, because there was lots and lots of properties that I viewed.
Yes.
I've actually lost count how many.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, because this is really interesting to me, so. When you came to the crash course, what were you doing as a job?
I work for an airline. I actually still do.
And what was the strongest reason for wanting to get back into property? Like, you came to the crash course and you are such a positive person. Like,
even when you
walked into the office, you just bring a presence of light wherever you go. You know, you really are, though. You're a really positive person. Great energy and presence about you. What was it that made you think, okay, I've got some properties, I've kind of done it almost accidentally, maybe not done the best investments, but still, they're going up in value. It's now 15, 20 years later, and now I'm desperate to get to this crash course, and I want to learn, and I want to go hard, and I want to refinance. Like, what was your strongest reason for wanting to do that?
I think maybe for my kids. I have three.
Yeah.
Really, I want to leave them like a legacy or something. I want to show them that no matter what it is that you want to do, as long as you try, you learn, you have the knowledge, and then you implement the knowledge and stuff, you can succeed.
Mm.
I want to be like a role model for them. They're my inspiration, and they tell me I'm their inspiration. So no matter what it is, I just want to prove to them, if you decide to do something, as long as you try and go ahead with it, don't stop, you eventually succeed.
Yeah.
So really, this company I've generated is based, well, the name is using the initials of my three kids.
KCM.
Yeah, Kirsty, Chloe and Matthew.
Right.
So hopefully this will be the start of a legacy for them in the future.
Yeah, I love that.
In the future.
I love that. That's so powerful. But a lot of people, I mean, you're on the academy, are doing property because they want to be role models to their kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great, I can relate to that as a dad as well.
Yeah, of course.
So, okay. So, fast forward, and then we're going to go through the story of how it happened. You said about you booking. Did you book any viewings on the crash course?
I did.
Did you remember how many you booked?
I can't remember now because a lot of things have happened since then.
But you booked multiple viewings.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens on the crash course. You actually pick up the phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you booked lots of viewings at the crash course.
Yeah.
You started calling lots of agents. You decided you want to go hard. You joined the academy.
I did,
Why did you join the academy?
Because I felt like knowledge is the key.
Yes.
Like I was saying before, when I purchased the property in Leicester, I thought that was going to be a good HMO, but I didn't have enough knowledge. I thought, well, you know, it's a 2-bedroom. I can change it into a 3-bedroom or maybe a 4 or whatever. But then I didn't realise there was an Article 4. I never knew about that. So knowledge is the key.
What do you think of this saying? You can either pay for mistakes or pay for education.
Yeah. I totally believe in that. I think education is very important. And how you actually take that education and implement it is also another thing, another factor.
Yeah.
You can go through lots of trouble, lots of problems and errors. But the thing is, like, it'll be cheaper if you got it right in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so after going on the crash course and after joining the academy, you've now got 4 properties and they're very good properties and they're renting out now and they're lucrative. How much money on those 4 properties are you now making per month?
So I purchased 4 properties. 3 out of the 4 have been rented out. And when the final one, well, this, the fourth one is almost done. It's on the market now. There's talks of having it all been rented out by an organisation.
Okay, cool.
At the full asking price. So all four at the moment will generate about £3,000 per calendar month. And because I'm actually doing the furniture leasing option to save on the tax, so it's more tax efficient.
Yeah.
After the 3 years, it will generate about £4,000.
Great. So for the first few years, you're going to be paying a monthly fee for all of the furniture,
which
means you don't have to shell out on furniture and it's going to save the tax.
Yeah.
But once that's paid for, you'll be making £4,000. Is that profit?
That is, yes. That's
profit per month off of 4 houses. Which is kind of the goal for HMOs, which is to make £1,000 a month per house.
Yeah. That's exactly why I went into HMOs.
Yes.
Because of the good cash flow. I've been posting on Facebooks and Instagrams.
Yeah.
And I've actually kept track of the BRR project.
Yes.
So hopefully some of that would help some people.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to, encourage more people to go into properties so that they have a passive income.
Yes.
As opposed to just the normal. I mean, you could have your job.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important to have a passive income at the same time as well.
Yes.
So that, in the event, unlikely event that something happens, then at least you have something to, secure yourself, right?
Well, yeah, because now you're making £2,000 a month from your previous 6 properties.
Yeah.
You're making 3, soon to be £4,000 a month from your new HMOs.
Yeah.
Which altogether, that's a really, really good passive income.
Yeah.
And you choose to still work.
Yeah.
Is that because you enjoy it, or is that what you enjoy it?
I do. I love my job. I really do. I love the lifestyle. I love the people I work with.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant company. And it's always something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Property is also something I've always wanted to do. And being a good mummy is also something I've always wanted to do. So I feel like I'm quite blessed. I don't know. I just feel like things happen for a reason. If you look for good things will happen.
Yes.
So I try to, have that sort of mentality. And hopefully that
do you know what I'm really pleased with about what you've done is... you've got previous property experience, so you know how to be a landlord. And when we met, you knew the basics. But then you learned HMO, which is renting properties out by the room.
Yes.
You also learned buy, refurbish, refinance, and how to push those up, which you've done accidentally in the past.
Yes.
And then you combined these two strategies.
Yeah.
So if you, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd love to have a bit of a case study of some of the projects, because you've been, I've seen the photos on Facebook, you with your hard hat, you know, going down, they've been refurbed. Give me some figures. Give me the juiciest, which one was the juiciest project?
Juiciest. Well, I think with the one I currently did, because I actually recorded from the start to...
Did you really?
Yeah.
And I've seen some of the videos. And then I was saying, come on, when it's Wednesday, so I'm too shy. I'm thinking, but you...
I am shy. I'm very, very shy.
So, okay. So give me the figures of the one that you documented then.
Yeah.
How much did you buy it for?
I purchased it for
126,000.
Yeah.
And then you did a big refurb.
I have, yeah.
So you bought it for 126?
Yeah.
And how much money did you put down of your own money to buy that property for 126?
I think it's 40. Yeah, it's about 40.
About 40 grand, which you used from another property.
Yes, I did, yes.
But still, 40,000 you put down, and then you got finance for the rest.
Yes.
Was that bridging finance?
It was, yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You then did a refurb. How much was the refurb?
Refurb was... almost 60.
Almost 60. Yeah. So again, all in now, you're putting about £100,000 in.
Yeah.
And was that, did you bridge the refurb?
Yes, I did.
Right, brilliant. Perfect. So if anyone that doesn't know what that means, a bridging loan is just like a short-term loan. It's not a mortgage. It's more just like you're borrowing it for a short period of time.
Yes.
So you've put £100,000 down, but 60,000 of that is bridged.
Yeah.
So really, you only put down 40,000 of your own money,
which
you took from another property anyway.
Yeah.
So all together, the property you bought it for 126, you put 60 in, so together that's 186. Have you refinanced it yet?
Actually, we just had the valuation done yesterday, but we don't know what they're valuing it at.
Okay.
Yet.
What do you expect?
I expect over 200.
Over 200?
Yeah.
Which means that you're then going to use all of the mortgage and you're going to pay off your initial costs, and it'll be as little money down deal as possible.
Yeah.
How much are you expecting to leave in?
About 20 to 30k.
About 20 to 30k.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And sometimes you need an exit strategy.
Yeah.
And if you end up having to leave 30 or even 40 grand in, you know, okay.
So.
And it might be that you can pull out nearly all of your money.
Yeah.
But it's good that you're a very realistic person. So okay, so you're going to leave in about 20-30 grand of your own money.
Yeah.
And then the rent, what's the total rent going to be on that property?
Well, gross, it's about £2,000 on that property alone.
£2,000, and that's why you say, after you've paid your bills, your mortgage payments, you're going to be left with about £1,000 a month. What an awesome, And the others, have they been in the same kind of area?
Yes, they are.
And are the figures sort of similar?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, but this one, because it's only a four-bed, because... A four-bed isn't as profitable as like a five or six-bed. So what we decided to do is to make it even more premium. We had en-suites added for each of the rooms.
Right, which is why the refurb was so expensive.
Yeah. But then we can generate a higher rental. I mean, we're going to keep it for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So, so it makes sense to do it that way.
How did you find a HMO management company?
Actually, it was by chance as well, because I was looking at other properties at the same time, to see what other, you know, opportunities there were, whether there's any more that I can purchase.
Yes.
And I came across this lady. She was like, she showed me around this property, and she was, I don't know, we just sort of clicked. She was amazing.
Yeah.
And I said to her, do you do HMOs? And then she was like, yeah. And anyway... We got talking, and I was explaining to her, you know, what exactly what I need to do. And I said, well, I've got, 15 individual rooms that needs to be let out. And she goes, I'll do it.
Wow.
So
how much does she charge?
Do
you know what percentage she takes?
I think it's 8%.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. Yeah.
No, that's really good.
But she really is worth it. She is amazing. I would probably say she's part of my PALP team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she is amazing.
How far away do you live from the properties?
Actually, very, very close.
Okay, cool.
I know you say that HMOs should be in a bigger cities, you know, like good transports and, you know. But I feel that HMOs, I think... properties doesn't need to be in any specific area.
Okay.
As long as there's people.
Yeah.
You know, rooms get rented out.
Yeah, I think the thing is just to I mean, I agree with you. I think just to speak to, do your research.
Yeah.
You know, always do your research. You've done your research very well. You know, you've looked into, you've done your diligence. You did not buy those four properties in a rush, right?
Well.
Oh, no, maybe you did. Go on,
but
tell
me. The first one I did. Yeah. The first one I did, because I felt that was a good one. And I thought, Article 4. I didn't know about Article 4.
Is it your other one in Leicester?
In Leicester,
but you screwed up.
Yeah, that's a two-bedroom.
But you bought in a rush and screwed up, and it ended up backfiring.
No, well, actually, in a way, because I bought it at 151,000.
Yeah.
By the time I completed, I actually found out it was actually worth about 190 at minimum.
Okay.
So the
rentability from the HMO perspective didn't work out to plan, but still, you got a good deal.
But at the same time, I also found an international scholar for the university that was employed by a university.
Yeah.
So it was actually two of them.
Yes.
But they rented out the whole house as a one AST.
Yeah.
But they paid the top dollar for the whole year.
Yeah.
So I had like a lump sum. So in a way, it was good because that lump sum helped me with the other projects, which was...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think with property, you can always make money in property.
Yeah.
But it's just a case of the pie is big enough to split it in different ways. But the more knowledge you have to split the pie right, you know, like for instance, you found out there was Article 4 and you couldn't rent it out, which is a pain. But because you'd bought so well and you bought it cheap, you're okay.
Yeah, so 2 years later, I can actually refinance that
and
pull out a chunk of it out.
Yeah.
And then, well, I can roll that through to another property now.
Yes. No, that makes sense. I mean, you've done remarkably well.
It was an error. But then again, you know, as long as you find a solution, I think. Because you're always going to encounter problems and errors and brick walls. But as long as you don't stop, as long as you try to find a solution or try to go around it, I think at the end of the day, you'll be fine.
There always is a solution.
Yeah.
And I teach this on training. I talk about finding solutions. What has it been like going through my training programs?
Actually, I loved it because I love the energy. I love the atmosphere. I love the community. Because if there's something that I wasn't sure of, I would ask.
Yeah.
I would ask on, you know, Facebook or all the groups, all sorts, or even directly ask you guys.
Yeah.
Like Alistair or Russell, that sort of thing. And I always find an answer or a solution, even if it's not what I was looking for. But still, it's a solution, right? And then we could just work around that. And
on the academy, what was your favourite training program?
Favourite? I don't know, because I found that each one had its own benefits. And each one, I mean, the deal sourcing, that was kind of, is that DFE, right?
Deal selling masterclass?
Yeah.
Deal finding extravaganza?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, deal finding extravaganza.
Yes, deal finding extravaganza. Yes, that one was very good because I thought, oh, that sounds like amazing. Because it's something that I probably would look to do like deal sourcing in the future, maybe, because I do come across a lot of good deals.
Yes.
Sometimes I can't take them all myself.
Yeah.
So it would be good to be able to sell them on for a fee. Because in the past, I used to, for example, I come across a good deal, but I can't take everything because, you know, money's like...
Yeah. You can't buy everything.
Limited, right?
Exactly.
So sometimes I do actually offer it to my friends and family. So this is a really good deal. If you do it, you're definitely going to make money. And I used to just give it to them for free. I didn't realise, I didn't realise deal sorting was a business.
Yes.
But actually, it can be quite... a massive business, isn't
it's
it?
Very lucrative.
It might not be passive, but it is massive.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Yeah. But it's good to have like two, you know, you have active income here, which might be through deal sourcing or through a career, if you enjoy your career.
Yeah.
And then you've got investing over here, which is passive.
Yeah.
And to do the two together is great. So you mentioned at the start of this conversation that you were really stressed out about Section 24, which is basically a new tax change that came in.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you find... the answers you were looking for and how to get around that with your four previous properties after joining the academy?
Yes, I did. Because I wasn't... Well, actually, I got it from your videos.
Okay. Yes. Section 24 videos?
Yes.
So how did you get around the problem?
So I opened a limited company.
Yes.
And then I just purchased properties in that limited company.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
So basically,
any properties in the future, it'll be safeguarded because obviously the interest is you can deduct that as an expenditure.
Yes.
Which is brilliant.
If you buy through a company.
Yeah, if you buy through a company.
Yes,
yeah, a limited
which
company.
You set up.
Yeah, I did.
And you named after your three kids.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So what is the plan now then? What's the plan throughout 2020?
2020. Because I have a few angel investors down the pipeline, so I'll probably be able to maybe take on their offer and then we'll probably do some flips, yeah. Maybe even to convert some more HMOs. I mean, I would love to do more properties so that, you know, in a good standard so that more people have a nicer home. I mean, even though it's just a room that they're renting out, it can still be classed as a home as long as it's good.
Yeah.
Because I've seen some that's in a very poor state and I kind of feel bad for those people that live in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not particularly cheap in price, but it's just like the quality isn't as good as, you know, you would hope.
I mean, ultimately property investing is a business,
yeah,
and I say this all the time, your house is your product,
yeah,
and your tenant's your customer,
yeah,
and you want to look after your customers, you want to have a good product, and it's great to see the standard, the high standard of your properties.
Oh, thank you.
And I'd recommend anyone watching this to find your Facebook videos and
thank
stuff
you.
And to follow
thank
you because they're really inspiring. Why do you feel the need to try and inspire others and share your story? I mean, I know the reason you came on Winners Wednesday, you didn't want to come on, but you came on because you felt that, I think I'm right in saying this, you felt that you almost had a duty, a responsibility. You've been successful.
Yeah.
You know, we've trained you and it's been very fruitful.
Yeah.
And you felt like you had an obligation to share that on, to inspire, educate and teach others.
Yeah.
Where does that passion to help other people, where does that come from?
I think if it wasn't for what you offered, for example, the free crash course, the free videos and that sort of thing, I don't think I would be where I am today. I wouldn't have that knowledge. I wouldn't be able to, you know, progress further. I'll still be behind that brick wall, trying to, well, just sitting there, not progressing or learning or do anything. But because of what I found from your videos and what I learned from your videos and from your courses, I was... it sort of inspired me to look further, to learn more, to do more. And if it wasn't for your information, I wouldn't be where I am. So I'm hoping that by sharing my story, it can help other people and inspire them to do more. Because, you know, if you believe you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. I think it's so true. And a lot of... success, I think, is down to the information, but also it's down to the person and the mindset.
You need to implement it,
the mindset of the person.
Yeah,
and one of the things that we try and do, and I don't know if you can back me up on this, but is that our training programs, we try and combine the even at the crash course and on the academy, the information, but also with the implementation and get people. I don't call it a seminar; I call it a doinar.
Yeah.
It's like, do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what
do
you think?
Sometimes it's like trying, you need to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
For example, I'm really shy in front of cameras and stuff. I'm okay talking to you one-to-one.
Yeah.
But in front of cameras, I am very shy. My words get tangled up, as probably you know, guys would know.
Not at all, you're great, you're doing a great job.
I'm trying to get out of that comfort zone. So I'm actually pushing myself to record myself talking in front of the camera and then posting it on the social media, I kind of find that very difficult. It's very tough for me. I am quite a shy person, naturally.
But you know what? That's so good, because what's one of the rules on the crash course? Get comfortable being...
uncomfortable.
There we go. Because a lot of people, you might be okay ringing agents. You're good at that. I've seen you.
I mean, one-to-one, I'm okay, as I said.
But some people, though, at the crash course, you know, their hands are shaking because they don't want to call the agent.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Yeah. You just gotta do it.
It gets easier. I mean, the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of actually taking action and not giving up.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I'm here today, but it's not easy, but it's getting easier.
And also,
but you're a great person to talk to, so.
Oh, thank you. Well, I try, you know. I try and bring the best out in people. I think property is a very good investment generally as well.
Yeah.
So I think that teaching people, I mean, it's quite a safe bet.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, a property will probably outlive a person.
Definitely.
And I know that even before we even met, you know, you were being successful in property, but probably just leaving money on the table, not investing as smart as you could have done.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone that was thinking about taking the plunge or thinking about coming down to a property investor's crash course?
I think just go for it. Get yourself educated. But once you are educated, use that knowledge, implement it.
Yeah.
Don't give up. As long as you can, you know, as long as you keep going, you will succeed.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to encourage more people to do it because, you know, it does work.
Yeah.
It does work.
You're living proof.
Yeah.
You're making like $7,000 a month through property and you've done that. It's passive and you've worked hard. You're working really well on your career. And I think you're going to be a massive inspiration to your kids.
Thank you.
So...
Well, property is passive, though, isn't it? Well, I mean, the initial setup is tough, but then after that, it becomes passive, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's two types of property wealth creation through property. It's being a property entrepreneur, deal sourcing, rent to rent. That takes a lot of work.
Yes.
And then there's investing money into property, which is passive, which is how you've done it, or you can do the both together.
Yeah.
But I hope coming on the show was not as difficult as you thought it might be. Was it okay?
It's okay.
Thank you so much. Hey, I really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you for having me.
I'm a mad follower of you on Facebook.
Oh,
I'll continue to like all your posts.
Thank you.
And good job. I'm really proud of you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.